Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
I'm delighted to be here with my wife for 52 years, my girlfriend for 56 years, if you would stand. I'm delighted to be one of the newest members of this academic and faith-based community. It is indeed an honor for me to be with the administration and faculty, and most notably the students of this fine institution here at Columbia International University. It is a very important time for us to step up the dialogue that we are having with one another as communities. In the mid-60s, Dr. King said we were at a station in this country when we had to choose. We had to choose between chaos and community. And I would say to you, some decades later, we as a country are at a point when we have to choose between chaos and community. Dr. Smith is right. I can't give a talk anywhere without talking about family, because family is the incubator of liberty. When you have functional, tight-knit families, you don't need big government. And for 244 years, this country, while not perfect, has been perfectible when good men and good women do great things together. When they change, when they choose community to change conditions in which they live for the better. And so I share with you this morning what my grandmother said to me as my family sent me off to college. She said, "You're going to Xavier University, and it has a fantastic library. I know because my friend Ida Gray cleans that library." My grandmother was a domestic. She was the first unlicensed psychologist in my life. She said, "As you go to that university and you go to that library and you see the vast number of books, I want you to remember that you have been raised to take special care of three books." She said, "Those three books are your date book, your checkbook, and the good book." She said, "Your date book will tell how you spend your time and with whom you spend it. Your checkbook will show you and monitor how you spend your resources, no matter how abundant or how meager. The good book, the Bible, will help you always to choose the path of conviction over the path of convenience. That good book will always lead you to choose community over chaos." She helped me to understand the importance of 435 BC when Nehemiah was given that charge to rebuild the foundation of Jerusalem. He, in fact, went into the center of the city and he let out a clarion call. He said, "Come, let us build together." Now, there were the nabobs of negativism in his time: Sanballat, Gechem, Tobias. Those forces were talking about caving into chaos and underestimating the capacity of the human community to do great things together. They screamed, "Come on down off of that wall." But what the rebuilders of the foundation of Jerusalem understood was that they had the responsibility to do what they could to refurbish that wall that was in front of them. So I challenge you at this time in this country, when we are witnessing in 2020, perhaps one of the most disruptive years in our 244-year history. Just think about it. It started out like 1974 with the impeachment process. It then went rapidly into a revisiting of the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. It transitioned into the economic disruption of very similar liking to the 1929 crash, economic crash. We now are experiencing 1968 disruption on the streets of our city. And we're headed into an election that can be 2000 all over again, with a very close election and folks hanging on the edge of their seats to figure out how it turns out. The question that you have to ask or answer is, what path will you choose? Will you choose community or chaos? Those three books, who do you associate with? What are you doing with the precious minutes and days of your life? What are you giving? How are you leveraging your resources? Look, it was so appropriate, as is the case, whenever I'm speaking to someone, I ask God, send me a sign. And when the praise singers sung Amazing Grace, it reminded me that we have to surrender afresh every day to God. Yesterday's grace is insufficient for today's challenges. So it starts when you get up every morning saying to God, "I surrender. I'm all yours. Put me on the right path to make sure that my date book shows that I am spending my time in accordance with your will." Being willing to speak truth to power. The sentiment that Black Lives Matter is true, because all lives matter. You know, the reason that this country, again, is not perfect, but it's perfectible, and for 244 years has been the place on the shiny city on the hill that folks from all over the world travel and fight to get into, is because for 244 years we have understood something that was radically different than the world 244 years ago. And it's found in that second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Just deconstruct that paragraph. Our human rights are not grants from government. They're gifts from God. There is no country on the face of the earth that can give you your human rights. The obligation of government is to protect your human rights. And paramount among those are the right of innocent life to move forward. If you start there, you understand that to affect change, we do it on a number of fronts. We do it in direct action and legitimate and peaceful protests. I've experienced it in the 60s and the 70s. Some of you are experiencing it now. Not violent disruption, but speaking truth to power, where we see a break in the promise of America. That's where we are. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. There is not a way for you to pursue happiness if you're dead. So the millions of innocent lives that have been lost through the taking of those lives, when God tells us in His Word, before I placed you in the womb, I knew thee. We're all fashioned in the image of God. And if we start with the understanding that Abraham Joshua Heschel, a rabbi who was a mentor to Dr. King, who actually taught at Hebrew University in Cincinnati. And as a young upstart, I had the privilege of hearing him lecture. He said, respect discovers the dignity of others. So this morning, I'm telling you, if you are about the business of choosing community, you choose community by respecting the dignity of others. See, I've been engaged in this whole fight against racism for a long time. Racism has a maximum of hate and a minimum of reason. And those who actually want to fight racism wherever it rears its head, and believe me, it is multi-directional. You have to be willing to stamp down the hate and choose chaos and genuine dialogue for the forward movement. Because Dr. King understood the message of Rabbi Heschel implicitly and explicitly. We can take action through the courts. We can take action through legislative bodies. And so civic engagement is part of your Christian duty. The human condition is not a spectator sport. You cannot retreat to the sidelines and expect to change the conditions of America. You must be in the game. You must surrender to God's will so that you are a productive force of building America afresh. That's the genius of our country. I've traveled to over 60 countries in a variety of capacities, and I know from firsthand observation what makes us distinct from all others. You have to struggle. Institutions and individuals have to struggle. Like I told you before, the human condition isn't a spectator sport. It has ups and downs. The one beauty of what we know from our faith is that the God that is with you in your mountaintop experiences is the same God who is with you in the valley experiences. And I learned this after I had an operation dealing with cancer, and I was coming out from the effects of the anesthesia. And I saw on the monitor the little ball, the little dot going beep, 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 beep. I said, thank you, Jesus, for not letting me see a flat line. Life by definition is a struggle. The choice as to whether you are a contributor to the betterment of life is the path that you choose and whether you are doing God's work. Dr. King at Lincoln University, at a lecture there in 1960, said that we are all heirs to the legacy of worthiness. So in your work of building community, in your engagement in genuine dialogue, respect the dignity of others, because we are all worthy. God fashioned us in his image. And that leads me to the fourth category of activity. You have direct action in the streets. You have legislative and legal action. But one of the most driving forces of constructive change is the change brought about by genuine dialogue, heart to heart, openness with one another, understanding that none of us are perfect, being willing to engage. Now, I will say this, here at this university, the challenge, as I've told my colleagues this morning, is how do you embrace academic freedom without abandoning the biblical roots that are in fact what makes us community and a constructive force for change. Stay grounded in that last book, the Bible, because what makes this university and you as individuals forces for good is the Word of God. Surrender to it every day and be that force. We have choices that we see being played out in city after city after city. Will our cities, now I'm not just talking about police and citizen shootings and killings. I'm talking about other individuals killing other individuals. We have seen this run rapid across our nation. So the challenge for your generation in 2020 is, do we choose to create fields of dreams, or do we choose and surrender to killing fields? That's the choice that you have. Suit up and understand this, that COVID has thrown a little bit of a wrench in what John Nesbitt told us was your generation's toolbox. 1980, in a book entitled Megatrends, He said that the rapid development of technology would create a challenge because it would encourage folks to be void of human touch. And so there's a very important chapter that I encourage you to read. It was called High Tech, High Touch. And the guy who actually, his organization showed me the magic of this was Barack Obama. I watched in 2008 how they used technology on the one hand, but they did high touch on the other, direct dialogue, door knocking, talking to people, engaging folks. That's what you have as a community. I will close with this. John 3, we're told that those who would do evil love the darkness. Love the darkness. We're told elsewhere in the Bible that we should be unafraid to lift our candle that God has lit, not to hide it under a bushel, but to put it on a candlestick and raise it high and witness for God. It's a very interesting choice. I was 9 years old with the mumps. My grandmother brought me a book from a university professor's whose house she cleaned. And then it was a novel, and it was about a little boy in the 1920s. And he spent a good portion of his life in infirmaries at an early age. And one night, at about dusk, the nurse walked into his office, and he had gotten out of the bed, and he was looking out the window. And she said, "Little boy, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm watching the man punch holes in the darkness." She said, "What?" So she went and looked out the window, and what the little boy was watching was the lamplighter go down the street. And in this little boy's eye, the man was punching holes in the darkness. My challenge to you in 2020 is not to hide your candle under a bushel, but to put it on a candlestick. Form community, rush the darkness, and punch holes in the darkness. God bless you.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.